out a narrowing list of suspects, and they have to then they have to find them and, of course, bring them before a court that would have jurisdiction. It's probably the case that the Dutch courts could prosecute them, but then they'd have to get them to the Netherlands. And if they can prove that it was actually intentional, that they knew it was a civilian airliner, why then the International Criminal Court could get involved.
More than 75,000 homes are still without power in South Australia this morning after the worst storm in 50 years caused a statewide blackout. Almost 1 million homes and businesses were left without power. Traffic lights were knocked out, causing chaos on the roads, and hospitals had to switch to emergency generators. Most have now been reconnected, but the recovery and cleanup are being hampered by more bad weather. South Australian Premier Jay Weatherall says winds gusting at more than 140 hours came ripping in late yesterday afternoon.
It was of such a magnitude that it ripped the towers that were supporting those wires out of the ground. This is the major high voltage transmission that runs down the centre of the state. At the same time, we had 80,000 lightning strikes. Some of them hit our electricity assets.
The bad weather that's been battering South Australia is heading east. Forecasters say the low-pressure system and associated cold front will move through western and central New South Wales and northwest Victoria today. That system will bring damaging winds, rain and thunderstorms. United Nations Secretary Ban Ki-moon says the Syrian city of Aleppo is being reduced to a slaughterhouse as the Syrian civil war rages on. Only a handful of medical centres are still operating in the rebel-held east of the city after new airstrikes by either Syrian or Russian warplanes. More from Al Jazeera's James Bayes.
The latest attacks on the two main hospitals in Aleppo came just hours before this, a pre-planned meeting of the UN Security Council on medical care in conflict zones. The UN Security Council will continue to discuss the bombardment of Aleppo. France is now proposing a resolution demanding an immediate ceasefire. That puts Russia in a difficult position. Will it use its veto as a permanent member?
A search is continuing this morning for two young women lost in the Royal National Park south of Sydney. Nikki Groves and Kate Baitup haven't been seen since entering the park nearly 24 hours ago, as the ABC's Joe Nicholson reports.
At about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the two 21-year-olds contacted park officers to say that they were lost. Contact was then lost with the pair and a search was launched, but that was called off at about 7 o'clock last night because it was simply too dark to continue.
Police are also looking for a 16-year-old girl who vanished last weekend in the same area of Sydney. They say the bank and social media accounts of Kathy Olsark have not been used in that time. Updating sport, and in rugby league, two players have tied to win the Dally M medal, which honours the best in the game. Cooper Cronk from the Storm and the Cowboys' Jason Tomalolo each scored 26 votes, four in front of Cameron Smith and Jonathan Thurston. Meanwhile, Cronulla fullback Ben Barber says he'll be right for Sunday's grand final against the Storm after recovering from a knee injury. In rugby union, Sean McMahon has replaced injured back rower David Pocock in the Wallaby team to play South Africa this weekend. And in football, wins this morning for Arsenal and Paris. Celtic drew a 3-3 with Manchester City and Bayern Munich lost to Atletico Madrid. And now on to Sydney's weather. Rain has already arrived today and we're expecting a top temperature of 19 degrees. Showers tomorrow and then we head into a mainly sunny long weekend and that will be much warmer with top temperatures of 25 or 26 on Sunday and Monday. Right now in Sydney is 14 degrees, in Wollongong also 14 degrees and 8 degrees in Katoomba. I'm Marie Carlos and that's the latest 2SER News on 107.3.
Thank you, Marie, and thank you to the 2SER newsroom for that update there. Checking the traffic for you now. West Pemble, an accident between two cars. This has been going all morning. It looks like there are RMS crews and emergency services on scene at the moment. That's at Fiddens Wharf Road and Ryde Road there. Liverpool, Moore Street and Big Street. Got a bus broken down there. It's been the morning for bus breakdowns. Windsor, Macquarie Street and Hawkesbury Valley Way. We've got a concrete spill there. Again, we've got the emergency service and RMS at that scene, at Sydney Airport, still heavy traffic all around the airport. Take your time getting in there. Maybe look at catching a train in. Okay, this coming hour on The Daily, we'll be talking about humans living on Mars. Is it a possibility? Should we do it? What's the story? We'll also be crowning our Fool of the Week. We got a little bit of a twist on that as well this week. Looking forward to that one. Before then, though, some more music. Here's Teeth and Tongue, Do Harm.
Just wanna have a real nice time with this lover of mine. I know what he did to you was pretty bad, and I don't know how I'd
To SER 107.3.
Get into it.
Woman, woman, got a whole lot of nerve. She's a flame in the fire. Woman, woman, she's a lover and a fighter and a king and a mother. Woman, woman, turn a boy to a man, build a whole empire. That woman got a story, with a halo standing in her glory. Woman, woman, take a trip to the moon on the curves of her body. Woman, woman, one hand on a pussy and the other on a Harley. Woman, woman, she could dance all night, make your coffee in the morning. That woman, she from Venus, don't play around, baby, she a genius. God gave you the answer. Of all trades, put the money on the counter. Woman, woman, she's the balls and the brains. No, don't you ever doubt her. Woman, woman, got a finger on the trigger and she coming for the power. That woman, she's a dangerous, so holy like she's covered in that angel dust.
Play Bar in Surry Hills is the heart and soul of Sydney funk, jazz, hip-hop and more. Play Bar mixes the dopest live acts, DJs and drinks in the city, Wednesday through Saturday till midnight. For all the details of what's coming up and what's going down, check playbar.com.au. Play Bar, Campbell Street, Surry Hills, keeping it real in 2016. Sponsors of 2SER 107.3.
That's exactly where you find us today. It's Adrian Walton here, and we are on The Daily. I'm with you for about the next 45 minutes or so. Hey, coming up, we're going to be talking about Mars, and in particular, people living on Mars. Is it a possibility? Is it just something that we thought of from the movies? Or is it real? We'll have a chat to someone who thinks it very well is. But before that, Royalty Capes by De La Soul, our future album a couple of weeks ago. Get your ear holes into this one.
They are so annoying.
Shh, shut up, you fool. She's here.
Oh.
Ladies and gents, crystal-carrying pixie peasants and warriors, elders, ancestors, sons and daughters, lion-hearted kings and everything in between, take a seat. Be witness.
You consider them kings, about to icing on cakes. Chariots cruise at tortoise speeds. Layer by focus on royalties. Longer than Sears catalog, stern like matadors, infatigable actual LPs. Mirror the crimson tie, the color of the Rubik's. Them duplex views got your nose up. But cozy up to this warmth though, at long term frozes up. The Jonas up, I get swallowed by the barracuda. Androids read raps off our phones. I choke the blood out of felt tips. Heavyweights up to the front if the belt fits. The wealth is like ivory toothpicks. One out of each tusk and muskets bust for each and every hiccup. Salute life when dawn breaks. Foreign colored foe mink lapels on these royalty capes. I repeat, salute life when dawn breaks. Foreign colored foe mink lapels around royalty capes. Royalty.
In cloud formations, waterfall rhythms from crowns containing galaxies, gems from past dimensions. A bond so strong it has unbreakable status, spits hieroglyphic scripture like a god from Atlantis.
Us three be the omega like fish oil. This royal right we own no rentals. Owners of the Cape Express, humor fresh from the mind. You ate off the plate of fundamentals. Knocked on every door, the country's red rugs will lay on floors. We walk and etched in like testament.
You find the atomic number 79 on burners' periodic tables we dine upon. Sitting on thrones getting blown to bits by a royal dime, filet of fine dining. News from the east, sire. Them east coast kings are still finding ways to stay on. Horns play on like a damn disease. We spread the words of Ramses and fry up a pan of these. Salute dawn when day breaks and give me my checks with the same first name as my cake. I repeat, salute dawn when day breaks and give me my checks with the same first name as the capes. Royalty.
We are an army of stars unleashed. The sky takes notes when we speak. Our capes move with the wind because of the wings beneath. This is royalty. The sky takes notes when we speak. Our capes move with the wind because of the wings beneath. This is royalty. The sky takes notes when we speak. Our capes move with the wind because of the wings beneath. This is royalty.
Antenna Documentary Film Festival is back for its sixth year, bringing Sydneysiders the most creative and thought-provoking documentaries from Australia and around the world. With 39 features, 14 shorts, virtual reality program, tribute screenings and international guests, it's their most ambitious festival yet. Antenna runs from October 11 to 16, so book your tickets now at antennafestival.org. Antenna Documentary Film Festival sponsors 2SER 107.3.
That's exactly where you are. It's the Daily for Thursday, the 29th of September. Time's just after a quarter past 11. Now, yesterday, in a highly anticipated presentation, Elon Musk, the founder of SpaceX and Tesla and all sorts of other things, you've probably heard of him, announced his ambitious plan for manned missions to Mars, which he said could begin as early as 2022. The SpaceX Foundation told a meeting of astronautical experts that his only purpose was to make life interplanetary. Big words, eh? Revealing plans for a reusable ship to Mars. NASA said in a statement that would welcome Musk's ambitious plans. Joining me to talk more about the possibility of humans on Mars and all other space stuff is David Wilson. He's the director of the Mars Society of Australia and is currently working at NASA, researching in the centre there at California. David, hello.
Hello, Adrian. How are you going?
Fantastic, mate. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, we're actually catching you live from California now. You're not on Mars?
No, not on Mars. Not yet. It's been a very, very sunny week in California.
Fantastic, mate. Could you send some our way? We've got nothing but rain today. So, David, why would anyone want to go to Mars? What are the various reasons to set up a colony on the red planet?
I guess the reason that most people that I know of is it's a way of finding a new life or a way of going off and doing what you want to do, a way to get away from potential restrictions in our current society, which is why many people left Europe to go to America and Australia.
Hmm. Okay, so you think it would sort of be the 21st century of that sort of expansion of the world, essentially?
I think ultimately that's the way it is, whereas, of course, a lot of the scientists I work with around here in the NASA Ames Astrobiology Division, they're interested in finding life and understanding the Mars environment. But I think most people might see it as a way to travel to a different place where they can express themselves more freely in the way they want to.
Okay. And what do we actually know so far? What's confirmed? Would human life be a possibility on Mars at the moment?
Oh, yes. I think the issues are really technical. The environment is a lot colder than Earth, mm-hmm. and there are dust storms, and the atmosphere is very thin. You would have to live underground or in covered habitats because of the higher radiation levels from interstellar space that reach the ground. For many people, that might be a great restriction.
Mm.
But if you had larger settlements, then you can do more things and make it a more pleasant environment. Many people would go there initially to explore. You go in rovers and you would head off over the hills and finding new things, new destinations, and understanding new environments.
Oh, right, so a safari of sorts almost.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Okay, and what does Elon Musk's recent announcement mean for space and human exploration there?
Well, I think it's a great vision. I think he put forward an absolutely fabulous vision, and I think the rocket industry and that part of space, our space activities, does need a vision, and it needs an injection of energy. Rocket scientists and rocket engineers are very, very conservative. There's kind of three things that can happen when you press the button to fire a rocket. The one thing is nothing happens. The other thing is it actually takes off. And the third thing is that it blows up. And that's kind of what it's like. There's not much in between. And so rocket engineers, and particularly in NASA, are extremely conservative and risk-averse, and just love old heritage that has been seen and deemed to work many times. So when someone like Elon Musk comes along with this wonderful vision of building, from what I can see, rockets that were you can go and look in the magazines of 1920s and 30s space rockets, Flash Gordon and all those sort of things. He's coming forward with something that looks...
Oh, don't tell me we've lost David. Are you there, David?
Like that, but with a very strong backing of... Yes, are you here?
Yeah, sorry, I just dropped out there for a second, sorry.
So he's come forward with these sort of 1920, 30 Flash Gordon type rockets, but with a modern understanding of technology and how to make it work. And I think this is wonderful. I love it all. I'm not sure whether it will actually work, but I just love it. I love it all. I'd love to sit in that rocket and just head off into the sky.
Yeah, it'd be amazing.
If you sit in the front, he's got this huge window, the size of a roof of a house. Wow. And just imagine sitting in that and heading away from Earth and looking back at Earth and the moon and heading off to Mars. You can imagine it.
Yeah. Now, what would a manned mission, from a logistical standpoint, what would a manned mission to Mars actually involve?
The key elements are providing a rocket that can leave Earth to head off to Mars, some kind of habitat which you can live in while you're in transport, and then some kind of landing vehicle, a habitat that you can live on Mars, and a vehicle to bring you back, and a vehicle that can... bring you back through Earth's atmosphere at 11.5 kilometers per second, and that's actually quite a big thing to re-enter Earth's atmosphere at these high speeds on the return journey. So you need all those elements, and all of them have been done before. Apollo has gone into deep space and come back. It had a lunar module that landed on Mars. Nobody's built a habitat for the moon, but much of it has already been done for going to the moon in the 1960s and early 70s.
Right.
So it's not that we're repeating exactly the same thing, but it's we can do it.
Right. How far off do you think we are? How many years? Elon Musk was talking about 2022. Do you think 6 years is going to be enough?
Well... Elon's company relies very heavily on NASA and US Air Force funding, and that's the crux. He's been given, I understand, in the order of $5.5 billion to build his rocket stuff.
Wow.
And it's not that he hasn't used his own money, but he's reinvested it, and he's doing really good stuff. And NASA is giving him the money because they like what he's doing. So, but it's really comes down to how much cash you got and what you're willing and what the motivation is. It's very difficult for a US president to come forward and say, well, we want to go to Mars mm-hmm. in 6 years. I'm going to come forward with $10 to $20 billion to do that. And there's a lot of other priorities around. So there has to be a motivation, a political motivation. And people went to the moon because they wanted to beat the Russians.
Yeah.
It was a technical race, and that was the motivation for spending all that money. Nowadays, there isn't that motivation. So so this is why NASA feels that it won't be till the 2030s that people start heading off to Mars.
Right.
Simply by using the existing capacities of what we've got. And each year it gets extended and built on, and new technologies come in. And eventually there comes a point in time where actually flying to Mars with what you've got around you is very easy to work and affordable.
Mm. It's all extremely interesting stuff, and very exciting too to think that we could be on Mars in the not too distant future. David, thank you so much for joining us on The Daily today.
Thank you.
That was David Wilson there, Director of the Mars Society of Australia, talking about Elon Musk's announcement putting humans on Mars by 2022. Let's have some more music before we crown our Fool of the Week. Here's a Riley Walker track, A Choir Apart.
Heads up for this joker, hand on the heart. Pledge to a false flag. Shot from the Sundays. Hallelujah's condescending. The joy was showing. Praising one ear and out the other. You curse your own name. You curse your brother. How can a man sing with the choir apart? My lips are moving. No soul or heart.
Walker there, A Choir Apart. It's just gone 11:30. That means only one thing. Time for some news headlines. Murray Olds, good morning.
G'day, Adrian. Yes, very good morning. You're making news at 11:30. Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull used very, very strong language indeed in the wake of the report that's been handed down overnight into the MH17 disaster. Mr. Turnbull saying that Australia will join other nations to pressure Russia into helping find those responsible. The international inquiry, of course, determined that an unknown person or persons used a Russian-made, Russian-supplied missile in eastern Ukraine, where anti-Ukrainian rebels backed by Moscow were operating.
Yeah.
That missile brought down the plane, 298 people on board, 80 children, 38 on board, who called Australia home. Mm. Now, Mr. Turnbull says the investigation must now form the basis for an international criminal prosecution. Tony Abbott, of course, who was Prime Minister, when this disaster occurred, he was very strong this morning, putting out a tweet. He said, Vladimir Putin, the Russian president, must accept responsibility for this tragedy.
Wow.
So the Australian leadership right behind calls for international justice for the poor buggers who died in that disaster.
Yeah, absolutely.
Josh Frydenberg, he's out there this morning, a bit like King Canute, really. the entire state of South Australia was knocked out. The power supply, 1.7 million people. And this is a global story. I mean,
really?
Absolutely. Make BBC saying, I say, what's going on in South Australia? Because they were rushing down to the store for candles, but sadly, every traffic light was out, so they couldn't rush very quickly. Anyway, the power's being progressively restored. It's going to be days before the more remote areas of South Australia are back on. And it was a once in a 50-year weather event. Mm. Just all happened at once. Lightning strikes knocked out power stations and major infrastructure that divert that distributes the power, and they had 22 those big high tension power
the towers
but those big power pylons they were just ripped out of the ground and thrown aside. I mean, the winds were extraordinary. So Frydenberg says let's talk about climate change later, but right now it's about keeping the lights on.
Wow.
So the mischievous media asking questions about South Australia with its reliance, 40% reliance on renewables, which is a good thing for most people, I would suspect. But all the smarty pants are now saying, nah, renewables didn't get you anywhere. What about baseload? What about burning more coal?
Yeah.
Now, the former boyfriend of Harriet Rann, who of course is the daughter of the former Premier Neville Rann, this guy Michael Lee, has been jailed for at least 13 and a half years for murder. He stabbed that small-time drug dealer, Daniel McNulty. He and Rann went to McNulty's home in Sydney to buy drugs. Lee stabbed him. Harriet, was released on parole a couple of weeks back. She served 2 years in jail for being an accessory. And two young women who were lost in the Royal National Park, they've been found.
Oh, excellent.
Which is good news. They were lost for damn near 24 hours. It's, pretty cold overnight.
Yeah.
But these two young women, we understand, are fine and dandy. There's still no sign, though, of this 16-year-old girl, Kathy Olsak. Now, she vanished last weekend around the same area. Exactly where in the park, I'm not sure. But police say her bank accounts, social media accounts have not been used in that time.
Right.
And fears are growing for this young woman's safety. I do beg your pardon.
You're all right.
And updating sport. Look, most of the rugby league big boys are tipping the Melbourne Storm will be far too strong.
Yeah.
On Sunday.
I'm on that bandwagon.
No, I want the bus. I want the other bus. I want the Sharks to win. I mean, I'm sick of the Storm. They won three in the last 10 years, but two of them were cheating.
Oh, but look at what the bloody Sharks been up to the last few years. What? Right? They're no better.
What? They couldn't win a meat tray in a pub raffle. This season they can. Come on, Sharkies. I'm jumping all over them.
They're on the UGG rays.
Like a big boy on a Smartie. If Manly can't be there. I want the Smarties. I want the Sharks to win. And, of course, in the Australian Rules Grand Final on Saturday, they are hoping for decent weather, but there may be the residual hangover from South Australia because that weather system's moving east.
Yeah.
The Swans are being urged, you've got to start quick, and they've had some of their best wins of the season with a very quick start. Remember in the semi against Geelong, 42 points to 2 at quarter time.
Yeah.
So that's the start they need if they're going to go with the Western Bulldogs. They are running on this fairy tale story. They haven't been anywhere near a grand final for over 50 years.
Yeah.
The Bulldogs in there barking, and a lot of people say they can win. Every interstate relative of mine are saying, get on the Dogs. They loathe the Sydney Swans. Sydney's weather, by the way, that bad weather is on the way. We've got some rain that threatens to hang around today, but tomorrow we're going to go back to fine a little bit overcast, but fine. And the weekend's going to be quite okay with mid-20s as the top temperature.
So we might try and get out and have a round of golf, eh, Murray?
I think it's a good idea. Yeah,
lovely. Murray, thank you so much, and thank you to the 2SER Newsroom. Time for some more music before we crown our Fool of the Week. That's coming up with Jack in a minute. Above Control by Warpaint from the album Heads Up.
Control. Above control. follow your fingers, kick your heels up.
You're on 2SER.
You are on 2SER. Thank you, Mark Ward, for mentioning that. It's Adrian Walton here on The Daily. Almost time for me to hand over the studio to Vinny for The Outpost. But before we get there, it's one of my favourite times of the week. It's time to crown our Fool of the Week. Joining me in the studio now is one of the producers here, Jack Begbie, to talk about more in depth about who is this week's Fool. Jack, who have we got, mate?
Well, Adrian, despite the mountains of material that Donald, I don't pay tax, Trump and Hillary, blame me for everything Clinton gave us on Tuesday morning, this week's Fool of the Week is neither of them. Instead, this week we have the English national football manager, Sam Allardyce, who has stepped down from his role after the 61-year-old offered two undercover Telegraph reporters to help them get around the UK Premier League's strict club player transfer rules. The Telegraph has disclosed that their reporters masqueraded as Far East businessmen and offered to purchase players in what would have been an illegal £400,000 deal. Third parties, that is a person or a company that is not a football club, are not allowed to own football players in the United Kingdom. After he stepped down, Allardyce told the gathered press that it was a silly thing to do, but entrapment had won the day.
Yeah, so he's gone out swinging.
Yes, so the Telegraph has also defended their investigation from the accusation of entrapment, saying that the report was part of a 10-month investigation into upper management of England's national team. They also suggested that the £1.7 billion transfer industry does require a little more oversight. Mr. Allardyce became manager of the team on July 22nd, and he struck the dodgy deal even before the team's first training session of the season.
Unbelievable. Now, that's our international Fool of the Week. Any fools closer to home?
Well, we do have a developing Fool of the Week. As the Melbourne Storm head to the NRL Grand Final, a huge storm has lashed South Australia, as we reported before.
Huge pun just hit there.
Oh, yeah. It has caused a statewide blackout and an energy crisis. So now the political scramble over who's at fault has begun. So as a result, we have our developing Fool of the Week story here. Is the fool green energy, or is it a decades-old national grid that has not kept up with capacity? Well, SA Premier Jay Weatherill has defended his state's 40% renewable energy usage, saying that the anti-green energy MPs are playing politics. And he told ABC News Breakfast this morning that the state's grid went down in order to protect itself from further damage. So, for example, if it kept going, it just would have ripped itself to pieces faster and there would have been more to fix up later. Meanwhile, Malcolm Roberts, our favourite One Nation senator, has tweeted, I call on South Australia and the country to urgently exit all climate change policies that are direct causes of the huge mess in South Australia.
And not the 140-kilometre winds or lightning or water.
Well, they probably don't have storms on the planet that he's from. And the Energy Minister and Environment Minister, Josh Frydenberg, has remained somewhat in the middle, telling ABC's 7:30 programme last night that questions are raised by the virtue of the increasing amount of renewables, but also that it has to be underlined that this is a major weather event. So watch this space as we work out who our Fool of the Week is in that.
Yes, fantastic.
I'd agree.